since you have given your life to Christ, Charlie, you have changed your family. You are now from the tribe of Christ. Anything that does not befall people in that tribe should not befall you. That's why Paul said, "Let no man trouble me, for I bear in me the mark of Christ." When I journey through the Old Testament, I discovered that for you to even be called to be a priest, you have to be a first son. After a little while, God moved from this point and started using only Levites. And that became the worst, because Levi was a son of Jacob. So no matter how anointed you are from the tribe of Judah, you cannot preach the gospel. It was basically based on the tribe. At a little time, God just decided to move a little bit and use a nation called Israel. God was using all that to teach us a lesson. When Jesus came, he decided to give us a best opportunity. So the moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have been born with Jesus. The Bible calls him the firstborn of all creations. So the moment we are born with Jesus, we automatically become firstborn alongside with Jesus. So anybody who has been born again has a reason to become a priest because of Jesus. Jesus now gave us another privilege called the privilege of family. So the moment we accept Jesus into our lives, we now come from the tribe of Jesus. Ever since you have given your life to Christ, Charlie, you have changed your family. You are now from the tribe of Christ. Anything that does not befall people in that tribe should not befall you. That's why Paul said, "Let no man trouble me, for I bear in me the mark of Christ." And not just that, he made us a nation. You know, for someone to make a nation must have a king. So one of the things that Jesus needed to do was that he became a king for everybody who has accepted him. And one thing I like about his nation is that nobody that is in the nation of Jesus is a slave. Everybody in the nation of Jesus are all kings. That is why he is crowned the King of Kings. So now, since he is the King of Kings, if you respect him and respond to him and obey him, he makes you a king. But if you respond to sin and Satan and lust, then the devil makes you a slave. Since we could not choose which country we belong to, he gave us a privilege to choose your nation. And the nation he gave to us is that I want you to belong to either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And God said, "This is what I'm going to do for you. The moment you move into my kingdom, I make you not just a priest, but I make you a royal priesthood. That is, I make you both a king and a priest." Generation. Oh God, this is what God is talking about me. This is what God is talking about you. He's saying to you, you. When God is saying you, don't think of the Bible very external that is talking to somebody in Abaklike or somebody very far away. This is God talking to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not talking to your neighbor today. He's talking to you. Tell your neighbor, God is talking to me today. So this is what God is saying. But you, imagine somebody who's so depressed and said, "God, I'll quit this pastor school. I'll just run and relocate and off my phone." And when you are just talking about how life is so unbearable for you and how things are so bad, because the word starts with birth. Birth means that there must have been something that is not done well. And he's saying, "But you are a chosen generation." It's like you're carrying a cigarette and want to smoke. And somebody said, "But you worship in Refiner City." So when you are depressed and very many things are going on in your life, the Bible says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." After you've heard this thing from God, how do you feel? Maybe you've been so depressed. You zip Gary yesterday as breakfast, zip it again, lunch, zip it again as dinner, soak it again in the midnight. And woke up this morning and you looked at Gary, looked at yourself, looked at Gary, and you said, I'm staying back from church. And it's like, I'm going to do what my friends are doing. I'm going to follow men. I'm going to have money and so on. The other half, my friend that went to holiday in a man's house, he's eating chicken now. He's eating pounded chicken now. And God says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Oh, but I want you to start declaring to yourself, says, but I am a chosen generation. One, two, go. But I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own, that I should show forth the praise of him who has called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Wow. Is it amazing? Oh God, I can't recover from that. That's a message already. Now let's go to Numbers 3 from verse 11 to 13. Wow. Okay, and the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opened the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborns are mine. For on the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and animal. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. That's a signature. Anytime you hear, I am the Lord, it's a signature. When you hear, I am the Lord of hosts, signature and stamp. All right, I'll be preaching today still on Thank God for Jesus. I'll be preaching today on I am a priest. Be seated, everybody. Tell somebody, I am a priest. Tell somebody, you're sitting close to a priest. Tell somebody, it's a privilege to sit close to a priest. And tell your neighbor again, for sitting close to me, anointing is rubbing on you. And tell your neighbor, receive it.
Receive it.
All right. You see, you will not value Jesus except you join it through the Old Testament. You won't have value on Jesus. You won't even know how powerful Jesus is. The value of Jesus will be very low to you. It will just look like, what did Jesus really do? Do you get what I'm saying? If we now have a very nice president from Labour Party and things become very, very wonderful in Nigeria, my small boy, Pani, will not know. If everything becomes very well in Nigeria, there is job for all the students that graduate and there is steady light supply. And before they take lights in your area, they will be announcing, please, by Friday, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, there will be no lights. Please, so charge your things. We are saying this so that we will not discomfort you, please. They are announcing from Monday. On Friday, there will be no light from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 1 o'clock. Just 1 hour. We are sorry. We'll be inconveniencing you for 1 hour. We want to fix some things in order. Please bear with us. You see, if Nigeria gets to such a point, the people that are just born may be shouting. I went to Ghana and they had a time like that. They said 12 to 1 o'clock, there will be no light for one full month because they were constructing lights. And do you know that is the reason why they voted out Mahama from office? The president at that time, they voted him out because there was 1 hour of no constant light supply. And I told them, if we find any president that will promise us 1 hour light supply every day, we will vote for him. Because sometimes 3 months, you don't see anything. So if you do not join it through the Old Testament, you will not know the value of Jesus. It will look to you that Jesus has not really done anything. What did Jesus really do? To just heal the sick, to just do this. It will not look to you like he has done anything. But when I join it through the Old Testament in where we read, I discovered that for you to even be called to be a priest, you have to be a first son. No matter the zeal you have for God. Imagine you have so much zeal to do something for the Lord. You now reach the church and you said that you want to do something for God. You have so much zeal to work for the Lord. And that the zeal of your father's house is consuming you up. For you to be able to even have a zeal and for God to choose you to work for him. In the olden days, you must be a first son. If you are not a first son, forget it. In fact, for Jesus to even be taken serious, he needed to be a first son. For him to be taken serious at all, that he can be a Messiah. For him to even be taken serious at all, he had to be a first son. That is why it was so difficult for them to believe Moses. Because he was not a first son. He said, God sent me to God. He said, who has made you a king over us? And when God discovered that it's so difficult for them to believe in, he said, go and make your brother Aaron a prophet. So, because Israel will not take it kindly if you, the last one, is a prophet and your elder brother is not a prophet, the firstborn. No, go and make him a prophet. So let it be that, even if they doubt, let it be that they see that your brother is believing in you so that it can flow. Thank God I'm a first son. All of you that are pastors, but you are not first sons, let me see your hand lifted up. You are not first sons at all. Oh, sorry. Who are you to hold the communion of God? What will you be doing with the communion? The sacred things of the Lord. To hold the microphone of Jesus. For what? When you are not the first son. Not to even talk about women. No? That one is a different thing entirely. We are even talking about people that are not first born. Last born. You are saying you are a woman. Who are you? Have you seen a woman priest before in the Bible? It was so serious. They needed only firstborn. This is what happened. Even if you are sacrificing to God, you have to bring a firstborn animal. Because he chooses the firstborn, both animal and human. It was a powerful thing. That is when you will now understand how it was for this guy to deny his birthright. To deny his birthright between Jacob and Esau, you understand it now, because the firstborn was actually somebody that God should use. So Esau was to be somebody that God should use. He was the person that the mantle of the Lord was to come upon. So he sold his birthright, haunted God so much because he had made God not to use him anymore. So Esau has been crying that Jacob went and took his blessing. No. It was him that was even trying to take Jacob's blessing, because from the day Jacob became the first son, Esau became the second son. He was the rightful person for the blessing, no longer the first son, because you sold your right. How do you want to sell your right and come and take the blessings that belongs to the first son? That was how powerful it was. For Judah to even have something, you know, Judah was not the first son in the Bible. For Judah to even have a portion for the scepter of Jesus to be upon Judah instead of Reuben was because Reuben was rejected. Reuben was rejected. What was the sin of Reuben? He slept with his father's concubine. He was unstable on all his ways. So God said to him, I can't use you. And that's why God had to go and use Judah. So everything was about the firstborn, the firstborn, the firstborn. That's why two nations could be fighting in a woman's womb just to come out. Because if I come out late, they will not allow me to do what God wants me to do. So you have so much zeal to work for God. So much energy to work for God. So much idea to work for God. But are you for your first son? He said, no. You are not a first son. No, we can't help you. We are sorry if you are not a first son. It's just like monarchy. When you are in a monarchy situation, you can have so much sense to rule, but you are not from the kindred of the kings. You are not a son of the king. Do you understand what I mean by monarchy? Yeah. Monarchy is a system of government where the people that rule are from one family. Until the queen died at 90-something years, they don't have any need of making Prince Charles the monarch. And Prince Charles is becoming a king at how many years? 70-something years. And until he dies, if he stays 150 years, we'll be waiting till he dies before we now know whether the prince is going to take over or something. It's always like that. So no matter how intelligent you are in Britain, no matter how intelligent you are, you cannot become a queen. In fact, as you are sitting down here, you can never become a queen of Britain. Because you are not from that kindred. So what happened was that after a little while, I want you to pay attention. That's where we were reading. God moved from this point and started checking Levites and started using only Levites. And that became the worst because Levi was a son of Jacob. So Levites is not the children of pastors. It's not pastors' children. Levites are actually the children from that tribe. So no matter how anointed you are from the tribe of Judah, you cannot preach the gospel unless you are from Levi. So that family alone are the priests. Imagine in your whole village, a family, only a certain family. God calls people from that family. In fact, it's not God calls people from that family. Anybody born into that family is a priest. When you want to lay hands on people in those days, before the person even take your, please, who are you? If you don't mention your name and put Levi, don't lay hands. You are not a priest. You are not chosen by God. Hey, that's how it was. It was basically based on the tribe. At a little time, God just decided to move a little bit and use a nation called Israel. Use only Israel. Use a nation called Israel. And that was all. Those are the chosen people of God. Every other person, you are not a chosen person of God. All of you should go and sit down. So if Israel wants to even fight with any country, because they have God, they can finish all of you. They became a chosen people of God. No other country. God had no business with any other country. African countries really helped in the time of the Bible. Libya was there in the Bible. Egypt was highly mentioned when they wanted to even kill Jesus. The Israelite people wanted to even kill him. It was here in Africa, at Egypt, that they took Jesus, took care of him, and he stayed here, learned to be your language and all of that, grew up, stayed over here, and grew up till when he was 12, and he now left. So his primary school days and all of that was in Africa and moved down to his people. But do you know, the only people that were God's people were the Israelites. No other people. Every other person were called the heathens. God was using all that to teach us a lesson. How would we have been doing today? All of us now that we are Nigeria, we say, God, we love you. God said, no, you are not my chosen people. That's how it would have been. He said, God, we are Nigerians. We are Nigerians. My name is even Fonobong. God said, I don't have anything. He said, my name is even God's son. God's son. God said, that's your business. Apart from the Israelites, they were the chosen people. But when Jesus came, this is what Jesus did. Remember, I talked to you about the firstborn. I talked to you too about the tribe of Levites. And I've talked to you also about the nation called Israel. When Jesus came, he decided to give us our best opportunity. So the moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have been born with Jesus. The Bible calls him the firstborn of all creations. So the moment we are born with Jesus, we automatically become firstborn alongside with Jesus. So he saved us on that. So anybody who has been born again has the reason to become a priest because of Jesus. He moved out from the firstborn thing and became a family. You know, if I am born and I am not a Levi, maybe I am born from the Reuben, I am born from the Manasseh, I'm born from which other tribe was there? From the Issachar or whatever. Even the children of Issachar, they understood the time, but they could not be priests. They understand the time, they know what to do, but priests, no, Levites. So he now moved. You see, if you are from the Issachar, you cannot become a Levite because it is tribe something. The highest you can do is to marry somebody who is a Levite. And if you are a lady, you are marrying somebody who is a Levite, then your children can become Levites. That was how it was. So Jesus now gave us, the first one was a privilege of birth. He gave us another privilege called the privilege of family. So the moment we accept Jesus into our lives, we now come from the tribe of Jesus. That's why I look at you strictly and very surprised when you are telling me that the things from your mother's house is pursuing you. Ever since you have given your life to Christ, Charlie, you have changed your family. You are now from the tribe of Christ. Anything that does not befall people in that tribe should not befall you. That's why Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I bear in me the mark of Christ. That's to say, anybody in the tribe of Christ carries the mark. And they are not troubled. So if somebody says, firstborn in this our family, they don't always make it like that. So they don't always make it. They have to do something. They have to sacrifice something before they make it. You tell the person, well, I am in this family, but I am not of this family. So he now gave us a privilege of the family. And the privilege of the family was that we now become a family of Christ. We now become from the family of Christ. Oh, what a glorious one it is. And not just that, he made us a nation. You know, for someone to make a nation must have a king. Am I talking to somebody? A nation must have a king. So one of the things that Jesus needed to do was that he became a king for everybody who has accepted him. So for all of us that have accepted him, we have entered into his nation. And one thing I like about his nation is that nobody that is in the nation of Jesus is a slave. Everybody in the nation of Jesus are all kings. That is why he is crowned the King of Kings. If you are not a king, you leave the kingdom because there's no room for slaves. And what are people enslaved with? They are enslaved with sin. So now, since he is the King of Kings, if you respect him and respond to him and obey him, he makes you a king. But if you respond to sin and Satan and lust, then the devil makes you a slave. So that's what makes him a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord of Lords is that a Lord who lords over our little affairs. the things we do. He is in heaven, but he can determine what you do. You want to do something, and he says, don't do it. So he lords over your affairs. He lords over what you do. If he tells you don't do something, you don't do it, because he's the Lord of lords. A Lord that lords over other people's small affairs. And until he becomes your Lord of lords, then you will get to a point where the Bible says, they call me Lord, Lord. So if you are somebody who call him Lord, Lord, but you do not allow him to become a Lord over your life, then you have lost out in the kingdom. So in the kingdom, God moved us and did not really wanted us to become Israelites, because it's not possible for me to be an Israelite now. It's not possible. I woke up one morning and I saw myself in Nigeria and I cannot change it. So God would have been unjust to put me in Nigeria, and still he now says, you are not my person. It is Israel that is my holy people. Only Israel are my holy people. You are not my holy person. I belong to only Israelites. I would have been asking him questions like, but now me put myself for where are they? Why didn't you make me to be born in Israel? So what God did was that he gave us a privilege of choosing our nation. Since we could not choose which country we belong to, he gave us a privilege to choose your nation. And the nation he gave to us is that, I want you to belong to either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And that's why Moses would say something like, I put before you today life and death. And he said, choose life and live. What a nice examiner. I put between you two answers. But pick this one and pass. So if you go to hell, God will be so shocked that even after he said, I put before you life and death, choose life and live, you still choose death and die. So he gave us a privilege of choosing our nation. Choosing our nation. So at the end of everything, you will now discover that there's only two nations. At the end of everything, the Bible says that the heaven and earth will pass away. When the heaven and earth pass away, you just discover that there were only two nations that are left. It's like, I see a new heaven and a new earth. When everything has passed away, you just see that there are two nations. Every nation meshed to two. And it's either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. Simple. So Peter was explaining to us what we have now received ever since Jesus came. And he said that we are a chosen generation. We are not like the Levites. The Levites are a born generation. A born generation of people that the moment you are born into the Levite community, you have been made. So God said, no, 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 that would be an injustice. Jesus is called the righteousness of God. That is to say, he makes God right. So what Jesus does is that it will be wrong if you are a Levite. You did not do anything to become a Levite. And you become a chosen person of God. And there are people who would have loved to be, and they don't have the opportunity. So to hell with your Levi stuff. If you believe in me, I will choose you. So he now has a nation. God now has a nation that the nation is like US. There are no real owners of the place. All the people are people who are from this place, who travel from the black Americans, the people who travel from Europe, the people who came from Israel. And they now become people, that's why they call the United States. People who are from different places, who have united themselves in one common goal. So God says, I am creating a great nation with people I'm going to choose. So he calls them, you are a chosen generation. So the day I said to Jesus, I have given you my life. From today, take control over me. I have just lifted up my hand to be chosen into a generation of the priests. The second one, a royal priesthood. There was something about priesthood in those days. Something about priesthood is that sometimes you are a priest and you are not a king. You know, there was a time that the children of Israel told Samuel that we need a king. We are tired of you. You are just a prophet and so on. We need a king. Okay, we need somebody that can be able to rule us. So now their government become divided. One, they are led by the king, and the king also have a priest. And God said, this is what I'm going to do for you. The moment you move into my kingdom, I make you not just a priest, but I make you a royal priesthood. That is, I make you both a king and a priest. Because in his kingdom, there's no room for slaves. That is why when you are praying as a believer, you don't need to pray like you are begging the devil to allow you to survive. You need to pray like you have authority. That's why the Bible says, you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Why should you decree? The word decree is given to only kings. It's kings that make decree. So God says, the moment you accept me as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer a slave. I don't want you to beg the devil to survive. Decree. Pray, listen. When when you want to pray, angels surround to take action with your prayers. So when you lay hands on someone and say, in the name of Jesus, I command that you are healed next week. The angels were there to make the person healed, even if it was now. But since you said next week, they have to go and wait for next week to come and heal the person. Because you did not know how powerful your words are. That your words are not suggestions to the devil. Your words are decrees. And decrees are meant to be accepted, whether it favors you or not. So when I tell the devil, get out, he doesn't need to negotiate with me. He doesn't need to check. Serious things, I don't pray long prayers. You can be very serious this week, and you come and I said, you are healed in Jesus' name. And you are still closing your eyes, amen, thinking that I'm pouring more prayers. I'm done. The devil understands decrees. It's you that does not understand decrees. So when I tell the devil, the person is healed, he has to go. And I'm telling the devil that I'm so much powerful to send him away with just a word. Yeah. That I don't need to shout too much before he leaves. If I shout too much, we are now mates. So I said, get out. Jesus will look at somebody and said, rise up and walk. And that was all. He didn't even say, rise up and walk in Jesus' name. He just said, demon, get out. Lazarus, come forth. So God said, when you get into my kingdom, this is how things work. I make you a royal priesthood. Both a king and a priest. And he says, a holy nation. So God says, it's not about a nation of the world. No, I'm not choosing a nation of the world again. But I was doing all of that so that you can know how I can be with a nation. God was doing all of that so that you can know how God can be with a nation. Do you know if you are from a nation of Israel and you even go and find somebody in trouble and the person wants to beat you, God will come and stand with you and fight with the person. That was how it was. So God said, I did an example with the nation of Israel so that you can know how powerful my nation is. He calls it a holy nation. That is, nation of the holy people. Which means you can have a father and mother and siblings, and they are not among the nation. But you are in a different nation, and they are from a different nation. And what makes you belong to the nation is holiness. So he calls it a holy nation. He says, a holy nation. A people of his own. That's why sometimes I see some believers who quote scriptures that has nothing to do with them. He says, I am the apple of God's eyes. No. You have to check your spiritual stand first. Are you in right relationship with God before you now say, I am the apple of Jesus' eyes? Because that thing that you have just said belongs to people whose sins have been forgiven. People that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not somebody who is a member in church, but has not left sin. How do you want Jesus to carry you with your fornication and put in his eye? How do you want him to do that? You just done masturbating and you say, I am the apple of God's eye. Somebody say, you'll be an Apollo in God's eye. He says, you are a holy nation. So God sees you as a nation. Do you know what it means by God seeing you as a nation? How you know how nations are important is how soldiers die for the country. So when you are singing the national anthem and said, the labor of our heroes past shall never be in vain. They are talking about people that have died for the country. So God says, I protect you like I'm protecting a country. Angels can stake their life for you. He says, you are a holy nation. But what qualifies you to be in this nation is holiness. Not my father was the one who started apostolic movements. The apostolic movement that moved in the whole of South Nigeria. My father started it. God calls it a holy nation. This is how the nation is. The nation is that you can be anywhere you are in the world. Ethiopia, China, Nigeria, very many places in the world. And you belong to a nation because the nation doesn't have boundaries. The nation has to do with just the people and his king. So one day, the owner of the nation will come and carry a trumpet and blow a trumpet. And everybody in every country of the world who belong to his nation will be raptured. Will be raptured. Whatever I think about a rapture day, if it happened during the Premier League, imagine the keeper he saved, jump born again, and he belongs to the holy nation. And they are playing, and they have been 5-5. They want to kick, and rapture takes place. And the keeper has disappeared. And he has been raptured. And they check. And they say, no. Referee, we have to cancel it. Where is our keeper? We have scored. They say, don't celebrate yet. We have to look for the keeper. They check the jersey. When they went on Facebook, they say, people are disappearing everywhere. People are disappearing. If you enter a car of somebody that has given his life to Christ and you are not born again, and rapture takes place, he will be raptured. And they're staring ghosts anywhere. Because God is more interested in the people in his nation than any other nation. That's his concern. They can kidnap all the Nigerians. It doesn't bother Americans. But let them arrest one white man. They will give Nigeria a few days to return the white man. Else there will be problem. Yeah. Somebody who is an American citizen If anything happens to American citizen, you see me that was bringing Ante here, and we did not even have a this and so on. It's risky. He is an American army. Bringing him and we did not have an escort and so on and so forth was just that I just know that God can protect him. If anything happens to him, the U.S. Army, don't joke. They can finish the whole of Nigeria. They just need one of their citizens. That's how God is. God is so interested in somebody who has been able to live a holy life to enter into his nation. He's so mindful of him until angels ask him, who is man that you are mindful of? I don't want to be among all set of human beings. I want to be among the few that God is so mindful of. So what is the secret? The secret is belonging to the holy nation. A people for his own. That you should bring forth the praise of him that called you. Because you have moved from darkness to the marvelous light. There's an old Israel. There's a new Israel. The new Israel is the holy nation. Yeah. Not the other one. People go. Sometimes I see Christians who fold their hands like this. I say, where are you going to? We are going to Jerusalem. And they bring white sand from Jerusalem. Tie in waterproof. Bring olive oil. Tie in. This is the sand we brought from Jesus' backyard in Jerusalem. And when they want to pray, they carry it and touch their forehead. I laugh. Original olive oil from Jesus' backyard. Then carry us to the grandmama backyard. Now there where I plug this thing. It doesn't work. The one that works is the new Jerusalem. When the Bible is talking about the new Jerusalem, he's not talking about a Jerusalem that has a geographical location. He's talking about this holy nation. So the holy nation does not have a location. It is people that have chosen and said, God, that country that you are ruling, I am going to be a citizen of that country. Don't allow somebody to mock at you that you are a born again Christian. And mock at you and make you to be shy of who you have become. We are everywhere and the world don't know us and they don't value us because they didn't value him. But one day the world will look for us and they will know that all the things we've been preaching is true. So God says that we are a holy nation, a chosen people for his own. Why? Because we have moved out of darkness to light. Bow your heads, everybody. So that is the priesthood of God. Thank God for Jesus. Hiya, Baba Shataya. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege to be called a child of God. What a privilege to be called a son of God. What a privilege. You are joking with the privilege that God has given to you. If you have failed to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are joking with the privilege. What a wonderful privilege. To tell you how big a privilege it is. The Bible said that we will judge the angels. What a privilege. So my question for you this morning is, are you among the holy nation? Have you been washed by the blood? Have you been transformed? Have you moved from darkness to light? Or you have used the church as your cover up? Are your sins forgiven? Do you have a relationship with God? Or you are using the one your mother had? The greatest blessing that we can ever have is a blessing of being saved. We may not have money, but we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We may not have all that the world gives, but we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. And we are priests. We are priests. We are priests.
Jesus is the way.
Thank God we are made priests by God.
Jesus is the answer.
Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus wherever you are. Tell Jesus, can I join this your kingdom? Can I join this your nation? Can I join this generation? This generation, can I be a part of the generation? Can I be a part of this generation? Can I be a part of this generation? Can I be a part? Can I be a part of this great generation of the Lord? Can I be a part? Can I be a part of this generation, holy nation? Chosen people, can I be a chosen person? Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer.
For
the world today.
Love
him, there's no one.
He's the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is.
shattered. Talk to Jesus wherever you are. I am born. He is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
My life is
the way.
He's the way.
Him, there's no one.
Jesus
is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer.
Above him, there's no other. One more time.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, my, 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 my,
my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my,
my,
my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my, my,
my,
my, my, my, my, my, my, let's be upstanding, everybody. With your hands lifted up.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the
way. I am born.
She can't have a guy.
I told
him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, the way.
Jesus is the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Close your eyes wherever you are. This is the difference between us and the unbelievers. We belong to a nation that they do not belong to. So that's why we don't sing their songs. That's why we don't dance to their songs. That's why we don't get fascinated by what they do. That's why what the worldly people do is so disgusting before us. And the reason is because we have found ourselves a country. We have found ourselves a home. We have found ourselves a nation whose leader is the King of Glory. We are not from this world. We are just here for a season. When our season is over, we'll live here. And no matter the age we live here, we have not lost anything. We have gained the glory of God. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Let it settle on you. I give you an opportunity right now. Since it's not an opportunity by birth, where you have to say, how can I get into my mother's womb to be born again? Or how do I relocate to Israel and come from Israel? But it's a country where you can just choose to be by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So as all of us are closing our eyes right now, and we are singing one more time, Jesus is the answer for the world today. If you are there, whether you're listening to us on podcast, listening to us from your home, or here in this auditorium, and you want Jesus to be a center of your joy, want Jesus to be a Lord over your life, I want you to lift up your hand above your head. Lift your hand above your head and let him be your king.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Are
your hands lifted up? Because I'm about to pray for you. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let your hands be lifted up above your head.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Above him there's no other.
Above him there's no other.
One more time.
Is the way.
Jesus, you're the way.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
For the world today.
Above him there's no other.
There's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer
for the world today.
there is no other.
I told them there's no other. Jesus is the way.
He's the way.
Jesus is the answer.
Keep talking to Jesus wherever you are.
For the world.
Keep talking to him, Jesus. Let me not gain money and lose this kingdom.
Jesus is the way.
Let me not lose kingdom
Jesus
of God because of the pleasures of the world.
For the world today, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Close your eyes, everybody. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul in hell? What shall a man give for an exchange of his soul? I want you right now, wherever you are, to meditate yourself right now into the presence of God. Talk to Jesus wherever you are. God is right there beside you. We have decided not to just be a church where people come in here and play church. We have decided to be a nation where people can come in and get to where Jesus is. Wherever you are, I want you to take this moment very serious right now and talk to Jesus. I want you to know that there is Jesus standing right beside you and is asking you, wouldn't you love to come into my kingdom? Have you not suffered enough in the kingdom of darkness? Have you not suffered enough in not accepting me as your Lord and Savior? Very many of us are very quick to tell God to come in and rescue us when we have not already made him a Lord over our life. Wherever you are, I want you to talk to Jesus. Whether you're born again or you're not saved, if you're born again, this is your prayer. Lord, may the love of this world not take me away from your kingdom. If you're not saved yet, I want you to say, Lord, I want to move into your kingdom. I want to move into your nation. I want to be that priest that the blood of Jesus came to make me. If you want to give Jesus your life and if your hand is lifted above your head, from wherever you're listening to us, lift your hand above your head. As your hands are just lifted up, you are about to switch from a kingdom of darkness. Your citizenship is about to change into the kingdom of light. It may just appear to you that it's just a lifting up of hand. But in the realm of the spirit, it's beyond that. It is not just a lifting up of hand. It is citizenship switch. Citizenship switch. Are your hands lifted up? Your hands are lifted up. With brokenness in your heart, I want you to start talking to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be far away from you from today. I want to be closer to you. That's what I want you to say. I don't want to be far away. I want to be closer. Drag me closer, Lord. Push me closer, Lord. I've done this many times. I've lifted up my hands many times. But many times I see myself going back to my vomit. Drag me closer. Drag me closer. And your hands lifted up, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm sorry for being a disobedient child for years. Right now, Lord, I come to you. I come to you, Lord Jesus, with my heart broken this morning. I need you, Lord, to be my God, to be my Savior. I hope you're repeating after me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, to be my Lord and be my Savior. I need you, Jesus, now more than ever before. Let me not lose the precious things of this world and also lose your kingdom on the last day. I choose to belong to this holy nation. I choose to belong to this holy nation. Father, forgive me. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Let my sins be forgiven as I move from darkness right now to light. As I move from darkness to light. In Jesus' name. Everybody lift up your hands, everybody. Father, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory. Keep waving your hands to Jesus. Lord, storms of life will not remove us from this nation. Hardship will not remove us from this nation. Amen. Famine will not remove us from this nation. Recession will not remove us from this nation. The Bible said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Is it trials? Is it difficulty? Is it prison? Is it nakedness? Is it lack of food? And the man of God concluded by saying, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. As your hands are lifted up right now, I want you to tell Jesus, hold me with your hands. I've seen people who have served God for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, later on they derail. Tell God, hold me with your hands. Keep me in your righteousness. Keep me in your righteousness, O Lord. Juju can help you. It's Jesus that will help you. Cultism will not help you.